Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 1st, 183rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Eureka Police Department. She is. Lisa Pulver, and she's got a different title than what you might be accustomed to associating with her. We'll kind of leave that as a tease.
Okay.
Let that one sit out there. We'll talk about some of the things. Yeah, ooh, mysterious cop. That's all we need. We'll talk about some of the different things that are going on behind the scenes. As you know, a lot of times we focus on the cars, the badges, the chief. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on. And we'll talk about some of those things and what keeps Lisa so engaged these days when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. Today, no, it is today. I guess it's today. You're concerned of what I'm going to say, aren't you, Damien? It's 3:13. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Lisa Pulver from EPD. But it is today, and today's cloudy, and that's not good.
Maybe it will become more sunny.
Yes. Everybody go really hard all at once. We'll see if we can blow those clouds against the hill. Our quote this afternoon comes from, oh, boy, long quote. George Orwell, sometime between... He was 47 when he died? That doesn't seem fair. Okay. George Orwell, sometime between 1903 and 1950, said, quote, "The high sentiments always win in the end. The leaders who offer blood, toil, tears, and sweat always get more out of their followers than those who offer safety and a good time. When it comes to the pinch, human beings are heroic." I guess that works for badges, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's sitting here in her cop blue outfit.
Which is totally coincidental.
Oh, yeah, purely. Yes, yes. Tomorrow will be scarlet red, and then Wednesday it'll be white, and you'll be all ready for 4th of July.
You're psychic. I'm concerned.
Yeah. I doubles wardrobe advisor. Lisa, you got an interesting title, and I don't think many folks, when they think of police, law enforcement, things of that nature, we tend to focus on the visible rather than the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously law enforcement is a business as well.
Yes, it is.
So what do you get to do that doesn't involve a gun and a badge?
Oh, lots of stuff. Lots of really cool stuff. I buy the guns and badges, which is fun if you know what you're buying for the guns. That was a quick learning curve. I write grants. I administer those grants. I'm the training manager, so I keep track of the training that everybody's had, make sure they get their required training, which POST requires lots and lots of training for us, keep track of it. And any special projects that come up, special purchase equipments, equipment purchases, unusual. We're getting ready to do some upgrading of our phone equipment, so in communications, and so that's going to be my baby.
That would be dispatch, or are you talking about the walkie-talkies?
In dispatch.
Okay.
Dispatch, yes.
So this is going to sound really weird, I know, but how do you buy guns?
Well,
because I would think that there are standards.
There are.
That have to be. It's not like going down to the local gun show.
That's true.
And finding 50 or 60 of your
face. No, they have very stringent, you have to have this on letterhead from your police department, and it has to be signed by your chief. And yeah, it's controlled.
Do you talk to the officers about what they would like? Does each officer have the opportunity to choose the weapon that they want? I mean,
no.
Is there the option for the Dirty Harry?
No.
And then
they all carry department-issued weapons, and they carry department-issued tasers, and the kind of baton they use is issued by the police department. There's another type of baton they can carry if they choose, but they have to train to it. So those kinds of things are, you know, we buy a lot of the same thing over and over, of course, until they phase it out, and then we have to find something else. So
there are, does the force choose what handguns they want?
They do.
And vote on it? Is that a union issue? Is that what you guys look at, or does Post have
We have armorers in our department who take care of our weapons, who are very knowledgeable about repairing them, keeping them in shape. And so I think if there's a need to change a kind of weapon or purchase something for a special use for SWAT or something like that, that there's a consensus of you know, people who are knowledgeable in the department about firearms and what they do and what they're for. And the chief blesses it, and then they say, okay, could you buy this? And I say, I'd be happy to. What is it?
So. I know this is going to sound really goofy, but are there colored options for guns?
Not that we use, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I mean, you see some of the fancy handles.
Yeah, the bluing or the, yeah, no.
It just,
no.
Okay, that's more recreational?
Perhaps, or aficionado, maybe.
Okay, yeah, the collectibles.
Yeah.
You mentioned batons.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with the tasers and any of the equipment, the non-electronic equipment that the officers have, those are all to a standard?
Yes. Everything that we issue to them, including the tie bar they wear for their uniforms, is an issue that is prescribed by the police department, and that's your uniform, and that's what you shall use, and here's your equipment, and this is what we use. And
do you give them the unis too, and the boots and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everything that you see from your friendly neighborhood EPD.
Yes, we outfit them with their uniforms and boots and leather gear and everything, but it is up to them to replace it as it wears or is no longer suitable to wear as a uniform.
And, as they
get a
expand
uniform.
And contract themselves?
Well, not going there. You can't make me.
You already did.
But they also have a uniform allowance to make accommodation for that, because they are expected to keep their uniforms in neat and tidy condition, and that's their image, and it's really important, especially to Chief Harpum. That's always been.
For him personally or for everybody?
Everybody.
Okay. What about the electronics, the walkie-talkies or I guess it's whatever they're
shoulder
called
mics,
now.
Shoulder mics.
Those also have to meet certain standards? You guys test those things through and run them through the gauntlet, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. If we change, I haven't had the radios change the model since I've been here again, but that's only been 2 years ago. And we've been really battling more with all of the narrow banding requirements that are on the radios, which I'm sure you know is just wreaking havoc.
I know, but everybody else doesn't care about that.
Yeah, right. It's horrific. So that's what we've been working on with the radios.
It's 319.
Nominated Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lisa Bolver from the Eureka Police Department. Lisa, in the first break, you talked about some of the different job functions. How do you write a grant? I think this is one of those things that a lot of folks in the nonprofit world, we hear about grant writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so-and-so was awarded this, and so-and-so was awarded that. And I'm sure there are some situations where you're up against those professional grant writers for some of these various foundations that are out there. But What is grant? I guess what's the concept behind grant writing? Mm-hmm.
What's in a grant, and what do they want?
Where did
to know?
It come from?
Well, I don't know if I can speak to that. I think what they're looking for in grants is, you know, its lowest commonality is express the need. We have this money, but a lot of people need it. Why do you need it? And you write the grant that is the most compelling for why you need this money. What is your goal? What is your expected outcome? How will this make things better? To what segment of the population? Lots and lots of parts to it. I was very surprised when I came from fire service. Most of the grants are competitive grants. There are hundreds of agencies applying for the same pots of money, and they are very detailed.
Other police departments or
other
entities?
Fire departments. You know, when I came from grants were competitive. Those are almost like writing a thesis. They are very involved. And more law enforcement grants are tailored toward, there's money budgeted, and each entity, like the city or the county, depending on what government entity it is, has money allocated. They're not going to just hand it over to you. You do need to demonstrate, well, this is the program that we would like to do, or this is where we're really having a lack of funding for some really important equipment. If you can demonstrate a need that would be helpful regionally with your, you know, allied agencies and those kinds of things, then you're going to get more bang for the buck, and they like that. So it just depends. It's really demonstrating the need. What's the outcome that you expect?
Are a lot of the grants that you'll make application for, the source of that material, or those dollars rather, kind of just a pool, and you could say, well, we need electronic, we need dispatch stuff, we need guns, we need cars, and just kind of whatever it was?
Or no, they're
specific. Is it categorical funding like we hear from the state?
They're pretty specific. One of them that I just applied for is Burns Memorial Grant, and it is specific to equipment and things. You could get grant funding to use for construction projects. And there's quite a variety of things you could use it for, but our allocation of it is so small that that just would not ever be plausible to use.
Well, so, do you want your dog house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a new canine house.
Yeah.
So we look within the department and what's the equipment that is wearing out, you know, what needs to be upgraded, what's better investigated. We've spent, and thank goodness we've had it, a lot of money on investigative tools because California Department of Justice is so cut back because of funding issues and all of that, that we are processing a lot of things ourselves much as we can and we're qualified to do. So those grants have been lifesavers for being able to buy that equipment.
Is it fair to say that grants now are replacing what used to be general budgeted dollars that the city would kick down to the police department?
Not quite, because part of the requirement of the grant is it is something that you don't have the funding in your general funding for. You can't apply for a grant to purchase something that your city could provide for you. You do need to demonstrate that financial need. So
you look for the areas that are the most fatigued, have the most impact. The dollars seem to be more low-hanging fruit for the application that you guys want. How do you determine which ones to go after? Because I notice you don't have calluses on your fingertips.
Good hand
luck. Yeah.
One of the grants that we applied for was a grant specific to getting personnel, hiring police officers for community-oriented policing. And so we have two and a half, I believe, that we have funding from that grant to pay for their positions, but it is very particular on what those officers do, which is community-oriented policing. We have grants that are from Office of Traffic Safety that are either for equipment or they are for time for our employees to conduct DUI checkpoints, targeted enforcement, those kinds of things.
Preventative stuff.
Yep, right. But it's very, very specific to its niche. We have...
Do those require a ton of documentation?
To me, no. But I've written some competitive grants that were... And when I came to police and I was going to write this grant, I went, that's it? We're done? So, but they have much more follow-up and a lot more reporting to do for them.
One way or the other, it's
they're going to want to hear from you frequently.
Imagine that. And are there more grants today than there were yesterday, or are there more competition for the same number of grants?
I think that for you know, for police, there are the same grant categories out there, but the numbers inside them are smaller and smaller and smaller.
It's 3:30.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lisa Pulver from the Eureka Police Department. Lisa does a lot of things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Could we say business manager? Or is that a title that somebody has?
No, nobody has a title. That would be the chief. It's more kind of like...
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay.
Okay.
That's right, Merle. I just realized this is Merle's last month, right?
Uh-huh.
And he decides, nothing personal, to send you instead of do a swan song.
Well, you never know what's up his sleeve, though. I wouldn't count on that. Of course, you would have to go along with that.
He may have to just show up and, along with somebody else then. Okay.
Tell you a poem or something.
Yeah. Or the new guy wants in, huh? You had mentioned something about training. And one of your areas of responsibility, is it doing the training or tracking the training that is being done either here or in other locations?
It's tracking the training and ensuring that they get to the right courses. So I make all their travel arrangements and pay tuition to get to their classes. And then we have our own database that we record who's taken what. And I keep track of all of their certificates and see to it that they fulfill. And POST has a lot of requirements that officers have to fulfill in a two-year cycle. And so I have to keep track and make sure that they do all of those trainings. We get audited by POST. And they have no sense of humor that they know of if we don't get our training done, as it should be. And a lot of this training is especially about firearms, shoot, don't shoot.
Life or death kind of things?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Low frequency,
high risk.
Yeah. And those are the things that you really should train for the very, very most. And so it makes sense. But... they have so much training that they do, and it is very challenging to squeeze it all in and then still keep our officers out on patrol. It's a lot.
The POST, police officers,
standards and training.
Mm-hmm. That's a state?
It is.
Okay. How does California rate on the professional scale? Okay, if it was POST California.
Mm-hmm.
Post Washington, post Wyoming, Texas, Nevada, mm-hmm. okay, and all the other states.
Mm-hmm.
How does
mm-hmm.
California rank as far as the standards that the troops are measured against?
I can't really answer that. My guess would be quite stringent as is state of California, very stringent in most requirements as far as safety and insurance and
liability.
Yeah. Okay, what do we live stuff. In the most litigious state in the United States in, or did New York
really?
Pass it us?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I still think we have the highest percentage of lawyers.
And a lot of our training comes from litigation and case law that's handed down.
When you send an officer out to one of these training sessions or a group of them, do they have the responsibility back to the department to take the notes, share the notes?
Absolutely.
So that there's a group learn also?
Yes. It is definitely an expectation that they bring back with them what they learned. Obviously, if some of it is highly specialized, like traffic scene recreation, that could be probably prohibitive, but
the documentations would be there for somebody to
reference
down
and they
the
could
road.
Look at the training materials. They bring back their training materials. I'm really proud of them. I think and what I love about that is, and I'm in the hallway where they have to walk past my office to get out to their cars. They forget I'm there a lot of the time, I think. And but I frequently hear them say, "Hey, I saw this cool thing in the magazine," or, "You know, that training was at. I was talking to this guy, and this is how he makes this notation." And so I think they do a great job of doing that. And it also reinforces the concept that, yes, you go to training to learn a specific task, but you're also going with your contemporaries and other people who do the same job you do and may have a different way of doing it.
Peer sharing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Well, that's a concept, I think, that probably helps then to flow over with some of the agreements that EPD has with other local law enforcement agencies also.
We got to do business the same way. If we're going to, especially on high-risk, low-frequency incidences, we need to train together and we need to do business the same way in a unified manner. And so, of course, the training has to lend itself to that as much as is possible.
KINS, News and Information Times, 341. We'll be back with more from Lisa Pulver.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lisa Pulver from the Eureka Police Department. Lisa, you had mentioned in the opening segment that one of the things that you do as project manager are special projects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds like kind of a catch-all.
It can be.
What would be an example of a special project that you would have the opportunity to work on?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first got there, the decision was made to change our uniforms and our vendors, change the way we do things as far as uniforms are concerned.
Was this during the Nielsen years?
This was after the Nielsen years. Immediately after the Nielsen years.
Okay.
All right. So
and for most of us, we wouldn't think that a uniform style
mattered all that
is
much.
That big a deal. You got the motorcycle cops from CHP.
It is a big deal.
You know, in the 70s, and you got the full knockdowns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are there advantages of certain styles, or is it just personal?
There's very much so. There have been a lot of really interesting studies done over the colors of uniforms, the styles of uniforms, how this affects the public, how the public perceives officers in these different black BDUs make people think that they're very negative and Gestapo-ish, you know,
all
mentality.
Business, no pleasure, yeah.
Bad. Navy blue seems to be, or LAPD blue seems to be the preferred color because it's dark enough to emote power, but it is not black. It's not dark. You know, I mean, I could just
bore you. It doesn't show the stains either.
I don't know if I go that far.
But, I know these guys eat. It's like the threat, right? You wear a white shirt, you're going to be wearing white with polka dots.
Yeah.
You're just not sure what the color is going to be.
And so And you know, when I took this in, I'm going, oh, you know, let's get buy-in from folks. Because my thought is, if we're going to change something huge like this, and to these guys it is, then we're going to get buy-in. Now's your chance. Everybody speak up. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Because as far as I'm concerned, then forever keep your peace. You know, so that can be time consuming. What do you like about this? And what's so that was one of the projects.
Hats the same way?
Yeah, that's interesting. That hat, the whole hat thing is just really, really interesting. I am so not in favor of baseball hats. And most of my guys will just want to kill me over that because they like them. They're more comfortable. But I think baseball players wear baseball hats. I'm pretty conservative. But,
Royal,
you know,
Canadian
the
Mounties?
Maybe.
Okay, that's not out
actually,
of...
Actually, there is a very good reason why the mounted police hats are becoming more and more popular, because they're having a significant impact on the reduction of skin cancer.
So they cover the ears. Yeah.
Yeah, and their face and their neck.
And snow and rain drip off.
Yeah,
yeah. The shoulders,
so yeah. I don't think I'm going to be seeing that anytime soon, no matter how healthy it makes them. But, it is definitely about an image and what people can expect from you and what you can emote from other people, especially in law enforcement.
Jackets and ponchos and blazers and things like that, do they matter that much because they're not worn daily?
I guess it would depend on where you are. It would probably matter a great deal what jacket you had in the wintertime if you lived in Minnesota, because you probably live in it.
Colors is what I was saying.
Right. Yes, the color is the deal. It doesn't matter what it's on. The color has
to be. So even if it's a T-shirt that they're
on
the softball league,
mm-hmm.
it's still the colors.
Mm-hmm. Blue.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't want to be charging out there with a bunch of pastels.
No. Well. Typically. I think that's probably an individual choice if they're playing baseball on their own time.
But not as an EPD or
I can't see them choosing that. No.
No, I just kind of would run.
Not even with my persuasive powers. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, well, don't bring me into that equation.
Yeah. I bring them pink cookies every once in a while. I go, pink? I want pink. It tastes the same. No, that is pink.
Oh, you like screwing around with food coloring, huh?
I do, yeah.
How about deep purple?
Yum.
Yeah.
To eat, but not on a uniform.
No. I was thinking on a cookie.
Okay.
Huh. Looks like prune cookies. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Betsy, what else can we mess with them on?
Yeah.
the fact that the squad car colors are what they are, mm-hmm. and the sheriffs are coming over mm-hmm. to one style, mm-hmm. kind of blending with mm-hmm. CHPD.
That's about visibility. Visibility, recognizable as law enforcement. I didn't realize it was a police car. How could you not realize it was a police car? It's white with black doors, big star, you know, it's hard to...
Blinking lights.
Yeah, how could you miss that? But that's a lot of what that's about.
Too much fun. Hey, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Say hi to the old guy for us.
Oh, who? Which one?
Which one, yeah. We've been talking shop this day. Notice I just slide right in by. With Lisa Pulver. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody else. See you tomorrow.